Hey, and welcome back to your weekly dose of holistic wellness and positive energy. My name is Amanda. I'm here to guide you through your journey to find a little bit more of a happier and more fulfilled life. If you're new here, each week on the Happy Hippie podcast, we explore tips, share inspiring conversations, discover new ways to embrace happiness in basically every aspect of your life. So we talk about healthy habits, mindful practices, and simple strategies that can help you create a very lasting and positive change in your life. So welcome to the Happy Hippie podcast, where wellness meets happiness and transformation begins with you. Hey y'all, welcome back to the show. Today we're diving into a topic that's been on my mind a lot lately. I've actually kind of been cultivating this practice through yoga, but also through my everyday, because I find that, okay, let me tell you what the topic is before I start going on a rant about it. The topic is a little bit about finding a balance between pushing forward and making yourself do things, taking action, all that good stuff, because we do need a little bit of that push in life, and then also surrendering into what is. I have had a lot like coming up. Currently, I'm supposed to be packing my suitcase. I literally have a flight tomorrow morning. I'm going to be abroad for about a month. I'm doing photography at a yoga retreat, and then I'm just traveling. I'm traveling to Greece. I'm traveling to Ireland, and I'm making multiple podcast episodes at like 9 p.m. the day before I'm supposed to be packing. I've been not stressed out, but I've had a lot to consider over the past few weeks. Like, I had to book at least 5 different ferries. I had to find different places to stay. I'm moving around like every 3 days I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to fit everything I own into a backpack again, that fun part of life, which is really fun. But I feel like I've had a lot to consider and think about it. I'm like, oh, I need to order this. I need to do this. And I've had to find stillness and surrender so I don't drive myself crazy and so that my anxiety doesn't go through the roof. So there is a time where you do need to take action on things, and there's also a time where you need to surrender. And I keep using the word surrender. It's just kind of allowing things to be as they are, and you can find so much peace that way. But there's also a really big benefit of surrendering, because you can't push all the time. So I like to think about energy in general in like two distinct forms, okay? Push energy and pull energy. I've already been kind of yapping about that, but understanding these two forces has really like transformed how I approach different challenges in my life. And I'm a lot less stressed out now in this example of like packing and other examples in my life too. I find myself leaning on this push and pull energy a lot. So what exactly is push energy? Because I keep saying it. This is the very active, goal-oriented, like make it happen kind of energy that most of us are very familiar with. It's when you're setting intentions, creating to-do lists, actively working towards a goal. Again, we need to do these things. And essentially, it's making things happen through your own effort and will. So like setting an alarm really early in the morning so you can go to the gym, staying up late to finish a project or recording a podcast at 9 p.m., following opportunities that excite you. Push energy is that like part of you that's like, I'm going to make this happen. And we need that, or else we would do nothing ever. On the flip side, we have a pull or a very surrender type of energy. Again, this goes back to like yin and yang, masculine, feminine energy. It's a very receptive, allowing, trusting the process kind of vibe. It's when you open yourself up to receive rather than chase. You've also heard like arguments on those type of things before. It's when you step back and like create space, allow things to really unfold naturally. It's like trusting your intuition, being patient with timing, which is very important because we're a very, very impatient generation. Not just from technology, not to sound like an old person who's like, it's those damn phones, but truly, like, we have a lot of instant gratification. So I find that patience is actually something that we do need to work on, including myself. It's also like recognizing that not everything needs to be forced, which is another hard lesson for us to learn. Pull energy, so, is more of like, I'm open to like receiving what's meant for me. Like, whatever's happening around me, I'm okay with it. And what's fascinating to me, and I've mentioned this before, is like how our culture, especially here in like the United States, the Western world, it typically values, like Western world, I mean like Europe, like a lot of different places, but it typically values push energy way more than surrender energy. We celebrate the hustle, like the go-getters, the people who make things happen, like we put them on pedestals. And we have countless quotes about never giving up, pushing through, grinding until you succeed. And we're taught from a very young age that if you want something, you have to go out and get it. Now, I'm not invalidating that. Some of that is true. But don't get me wrong, okay? There's value. We don't talk about enough how exhausting it can be. it's become to light in the past few years, which is like the rise of like self-care and that type of genre, which again is good, but to constantly be in that push mode, it's very exhausting mentally and physically. And we see the consequences in the rates of burnout that's happening these days, anxiety levels, and just a general like sense of disconnection that many people feel, like how you can just feel off, you know, when you know when you're kind of tipping the scale into one of those sides of energy a little bit too more, because you just feel off. Maybe you can't put your thumb on it, or is that the saying? I think it's put your finger on it. I don't know why I singled out the thumb. Anyway, but when you just feel off, you know, you have a disconnection of some sorts. We've like lost the art of surrendering, of just allowing and trusting. And as much as I talk about this topic, like I actively have to practice it. I find it come up so often in my life, you know, but I think that's why finding the balance between these two energies is very crucial for a well-rounded life. Both of these energies, they serve different purposes that are needed at different times, but kind of think of it like breathing, you know, you need both the inhale and the exhale, yin and yang. Just pushing without ever surrendering is like you're only trying to inhale, you're sipping in air, but technically eventually you would explode because you're just breathing in so much air and you're not letting it out. And surrendering without ever pushing is like trying to only exhale. You'll probably collapse because you're not getting any new oxygen in. So in my own life, I've noticed that my greatest breakthroughs often come through when I kind of find like a sweet spot between these energies, you know, knowing when to push forward with determination and when to step back and just allow things to unfold, okay? And that's kind of what we're exploring today, how to recognize which energy is needed when. I feel like that's the kicker in this one, especially, and how to develop both of those skills equally. So it's coming from experience. It's coming from a little bit of like brain science and also yogic philosophy, because yogic philosophy talks about the balance of sukra and citra. And I think I might mispronounce them. You guys, I don't have anything in front of me to reference, so I do apologize. But it's basically Sanskrit for strength and ease, effort and surrender. And we use them in the practice. So even like ancient yogis knew thousands of years ago that many of us are now basically just discovering this whole balance, and is like the key to everything, you know? So let's go into it a little bit. We'll talk about when you need to push, when you need to surrender and let go, and then also some practices that you can implement to help you out. So let's get into it, I guess. The first thing I kind of want to dive into is the principle of push, like signs that we need to find that push energy, because I don't want you to only think like, you're right, I never have to try, I have to sit back and relax 100% of the time. The first kind of sign and area that you might need to switch into that push energy is when you're avoiding doing something out of fear. Now, I can attest to this because like, I feel like I do everything super afraid. Most of the time I'm afraid of a lot. And the only way to actually get through it is to truly like take a step and try, whether that's trying a new skill, trying something different in the gym, physically going out of your way, speaking up in a situation. Not pushing yourself to do it and just allowing things to happen around you, it's not going to help you get rid of that fear in any sense. But when you find yourself almost like the past few episodes when we were talking about procrastination and perfectionism and how perfectionism is a form of holding yourself back, because our brain just wants to keep us safe all of the time. Fear is mostly our body's response to trying to make us survive. If we're afraid of something and we're not doing something, it's because it's either foreign to our bodies, it's something new, it's something different, change is different, going out of your comfort zone is different, and our body doesn't like different because it doesn't know what's going to happen. Our amygdala controls our fear response, and that part of the brain is the primal part of the brain that helped us survive, and it still kind of helps us survive, even though in the modern world, it holds us back a little bit because our body just wants to keep us safe. Like I was saying, things that are different, it doesn't know. But things that are familiar, it does know. So if you've never tried something, it's going to usher you in the direction of doing the familiar thing because it keeps you safe. It keeps you away from harm's way. And the reason it keeps you safe because it wants to keep you alive and it wants you to end up reproducing, because that's like all our brain thinks about. It thinks about surviving and then carrying on like the human legacy. So if you do this thing that you're a little bit afraid of, it's not literally going to kill you, but your brain thinks it will. So that's why I feel normal sometimes when I think about how our brain operates, because it's not you. You're not having this big crazy dilemma, really. It's just your brain trying to protect you in some way. So if you feel fear around something because you're avoiding it, you're avoiding doing it because you have a little sense of hesitation, you're afraid of being embarrassed of something, you're afraid of being judged in some way, if those emotions are coming up around a topic, it's usually a sign to find a way to push through it. And I know that's so easy for me to sit up here and say, but I would recommend checking out the episodes on procrastination and perfectionism. You can just type those words in the search bar underneath the podcast, wherever you listen to. And there's a lot of actionable tips in those episodes that can help you out around the topic of pushing through fear and where fear kind of stems from. But that's when you should kind of switch into that go-getter energy and maybe think of a way how you can take very tiny actionable steps to get through this. Another thing is if you're making excuses rather than taking responsibility, because if you find yourself constantly being like, oh, you know, it's too cold today, I don't feel like going to the gym, I don't want to like get dressed and go out there, like those are when you need to switch into that go-getter kind of mode. Anytime that you're avoiding something out of fear or you're making excuses rather than taking that responsibility and taking that initiative, that's kind of when we need to evaluate or at least step back and just tell ourselves like, okay, I don't know, find a corny quote and just be like, girl, you got to do this. You know, this is something that's important for us. Think about your goals and your values. If the thing you're trying to do aligns up with them, but you keep finding excuses, then that might be something that you should, you know, pivot into this push energy. Another thing is if you've been super static in something for so long, if this has been a pattern where you've constantly been holding yourself back or avoiding something or keeping the same excuses going for a very long time, and time is relative, so whatever that means to you, it can be over the past few weeks, past few days, it could be a yearly thing, but check in on yourself, just step back from things. Most of these points are just stepping back and looking at these situations and asking yourself a question or two, because we get caught up in the day-to-day and we don't realize our patterns sometimes. So let's kind of flip the switch and talk about signs that you may need to surrender or switch into that pulling back energy. The first one is if you're truly experiencing burnout or exhaustion. If you find that you're taking on too many things, you're saying yes to a lot of things, if you're overcompensating, you're taking a lot of work on, and you're just totally burnt out. You can't find any time to shut down, or maybe you even find relaxing is difficult for you. And this can be on any scale. I'm not saying that your whole entire life and schedule is just you on the move, but even taking on one project can kind of be causing you to feel these sensations of like real exhaustion and burnout. Checking in with yourself there, you may need to surrender. And surrender can look different. It can look like taking on less of a load. It can not even be touching that area, but taking on more personal things that may help you relax. So maybe actually focusing on your sleep schedule, and instead of sleeping 6 hours every night, trying to actually aim for 8 hours and see how that makes you feel. Or maybe taking a yoga class or booking time to do something like a hobby or something that kind of lights you up, making that time during your week to actually help you out and give you time to switch off from that go, go, go mode to switching into enjoyment and relaxation and kind of flow. Because relaxation doesn't actually have to mean you sitting down, getting a massage, laying in bed, like scrolling. That can be a form of relaxation. But I'm talking about anything that kind of just like relaxes your nervous system and allows you to just be and allows you to feel like positive feelings instead of pushing yourself through some sort of work mode. So again, these are relative things. They apply to you. If anything's kind of standing out in your life, any areas, that's kind of where I'm kind of attributing this to. Another thing is if you're forcing outcomes, it actually just creates more resistance in the long run. If you're really forcing yourself to show up for things or reach out to people, you find yourself being the one who's constantly making plans for everybody, sending whatever information out to people, and you're not getting anything kind of back on that end, that can be something. If you're constantly trying to force, even in like, I'm trying to think of so many different situations as I give this one example, like in the gym, if you're forcing yourself to do things that truly like don't feel good, like in yoga, I want to talk a little bit about yoga practices in a moment. Even if you don't practice yoga, the lessons are good and they tie in. I promise I wouldn't be in here yapping about that if it didn't. But for example, in yoga, I teach yin yoga. I teach restorative yoga sometimes. I teach multiple types, but each week I teach one of those classes. Now, that type of class style, it's a restorative class where you're allowing your body to truly relax and sink and just be where you are. And even though we're going through poses, like maybe a lunge or like something on your back, like a twist, just because I'm telling you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. And you can take that into a lot of different areas. And I tell my students all the time, I'm like, deeper doesn't always mean better. Forcing yourself into what you think a pose should look like just because everyone else around you is doing it, just because you've seen it on TV, just because I'm doing it in a certain way, doesn't mean you have to do it that way, especially if you're going through it and you're feeling pain, you're feeling very, very uncomfortable. You're not feeling like a little bit of an edge, a little bit of a release. You're feeling like you're forcing yourself to it. Another thing is your breath. If you're holding a pose and you're literally like, you can't breathe, like you need to learn how to take these lessons and bring them into your body and notice how your body is and relax it and pull back. And maybe that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that you have to do the fullest expression of a pose. Like if I tell you to twist, and I see it all the time. So one of the things I do when I teach yoga is I try to build from the ground up, like the bottom up. So I'll start saying like, not a modification, but I'll start saying a version of a pose and then I build onto it. Because if I immediately tell people to twist your right leg all the way over to one side of your mat, they'll go and do it. But so usually I'll tell people to like put a block down and then twist and place your leg on the block. If it's comfortable for you, you can experiment with removing the block and see how that feels. Because sometimes people feel, and it can be from daily life, like our entire life, we're kind of conditioned to try to fit in. Again, it comes from that fear aspect of our brain. We want to do what everyone else around us is doing. Or if we have like an ego thing, we feel like we can do it, or we want to show ourselves we can do it. And that can come from a lot of things, and it's not bad. But sometimes we just force ourselves to do things. So I try to cue when I teach yoga. I make sure to be very inclusive, and I try to start with poses like that are a little bit different and then build on to more fuller expressions. You know, this way everybody can find their own edge and kind of stay where they need to stay. And I've seen it. I've seen it when I've honestly truly forgotten to do like a smaller pose leading up to a bigger pose. Like if I'm just in my head or something and it comes out immediately like, oh, go into this pose. I'll see people try and do it. I see people all the time, even they'll even ignore me, like we use blocks in yoga a lot. Blocks are really good tools. And sometimes people will totally ignore me. I'll say it 100 times at the beginning of class. I'm like, hey, use the blocks. Like they're not a crutch. They actually really help you get a really nice expression of a pose. They can take pain away. They can like just really help you like go into a pose better. And people will totally ignore it. And then I'll be teaching a class like halfway and I do something that you really do need the blocks for. And people like get up off their mat and have to go walk to get blocks because they didn't listen the first time. And again, maybe they don't want to use blocks in their practice. No judgment there. But it's just a way to show that like if I don't say it, like most of the time people will just do their own thing, or they'll do it until, which is another human condition we kind of go through. You keep doing something until it doesn't work anymore. That's kind of how a lot of people, not everybody, but some people approach like health, is like they don't care about it until something's off and then they try to take action. So it's a common thing. So in yoga too, like I'll see it in classes where somebody, like they'll go as far as they can without the blocks until they really can't anymore, and then they'll go like and get a block. And it just shows us like it's so normal, like everyone does it. But when we force ourselves to do things, we're just creating more of a resistance, you know, we're creating more of a struggle in those ways. I hope that yoga example kind of explained a little bit of it. I've seen it in relationships too, like just having a lot of girlfriends and when I was younger too, like when you force something, you kind of like push people away. Like when you're really overbearing and you don't even know you're doing it, like you can see it on Love Island. Like if you look at Love Island as like a psychological study, I remember, what's the UK season with like Amy and Curtis and Maura and all of them? There's this one couple and it's like Amy and Curtis, and Amy like was obsessed with Curtis a bit more than he was, even though they liked each other. And she gave off this energy and she was almost like really jealous. And anytime he'd like talk to anybody, she would like pull up and sit next to him. And she was always pulling him for these conversations. And again, she's doing it from a place of fear. Like she had a fear of losing him. So that's why she was like grabbing on to him so much. But then from his end, he was constantly like surrounded by like this negative energy of her every time he did something, pulling her aside. And she was pulling him aside and giving like these negative lectures. So it was like a dog. He was being reinforced anytime he did anything. Like it would just be like negative, negative, negative. And then they had a big blow up and they never ended up together. But that's an example. Like I've even seen it in just day-to-day life where like a friend would, like when I was younger, like a friend would be explaining something to me about like, she's like, oh, I'm gonna text this person and I'm gonna send this again. And it's like, there's like 100 blue bubbles on one side and then like no response on the other side. And it's that same energy where it's like the more you push, the more you're creating resistance. The more you try to force something, the more you try to show up and like put yourself in a situation where like you just, you're not receiving that type of energy back. It could be friendships, it could be relationships, it could be anywhere you are. Like even, I don't know, like social settings. I've seen it before and I've experienced it where it's just like you try to force yourself into something, it doesn't work, you know? And a good thing is maybe it's not meant for you. Like maybe those aren't your people, your friends. So just like step back from that. Same thing with other things like jobs, you know? If you're forcing yourself to do work into a job that you don't truly enjoy, but you're trying to keep showing up and proving yourself, just step back. It's just evaluating things. Are you forcing things? Are you trying to like push yourself into something? Because you might be creating some sort of resistance. Another thing that ties into that is a sign that you need to surrender when you're really, really attached to specific outcomes. If things don't happen the exact way that you want them to happen, that can be a sign that you need to learn how to surrender. And that happens with me when I, for example, I can talk about when I was recently planning for like my trip and everything. I was like, oh, when I book this place, I need to have these requirements. And then you're trying to fit the mold like really hard and you can't because sometimes it's not possible. You need to just step back and accept like what's happening with that. Also, this is also a fun fact. A lot of the times I follow, and I also know a few people who work in like the travel industry, and the way they always say to get the best flight deals is to keep an eye out for drops in prices and book flights to, it could be a destination like you weren't even thinking of, but just notice like, oh wow, this flight to Rome's really cheap, or oh wow, the flight to Hawaii dropped down a lot. When you're stuck with certain dates and certain locations, so let's say you want to go to Mexico on June 1st to June 8th, like that's it, you're booking your time off, it's June 1st to June 8th, and now you're trying to find a flight that fits in that little schedule, you're kind of going to be stuck with what's available. But if in your head you say, okay, I want to visit Mexico this year, and you just keep an eye on it, and then all of a sudden you see, oh wow, the flights are dropping in April, then you can like go in and like actually end up saving money, and you'll probably be a little happier because of that. So I know that that was like a weird motif to kind of like compare it to, but it is really true. If you're forcing yourself to try to find flights between a certain date, time and date, it's going to be harder to find them. You're going to be harder to find the outcome you want. But if you keep it open and you're just accepting the fact, you're like, okay, well, I'm thinking about going to Italy in the next 2 years. As woo as it sounds, things do kind of fall into place when you don't put that pressure on things, when you don't force it and you get very attached to specific outcomes. You want to hear a better example? It oddly has to do with travel too. So for the past few months, I was looking into doing work for a yoga retreat. I really wanted to do more photography for a yoga retreat. I was looking through World Packers. I was looking through actual like jobs, and I was applying and I was reaching out. And then I wasn't applying and reaching out, but I was like scanning a lot of offers and they didn't like fit what I wanted, like the timing and all that stuff. I was like, or like the location or the requirements just truly weren't good. Like there was really low pay, or like they weren't giving what they wanted. They wanted like 50 hours of work a week for just free. So I was like, whatever. And at first I was getting a little upset. And then as I kept looking at things, I was like, you know what? It's fine. I want to find it. I'm going to keep it in the back of my head. And I'm just going to keep like doing the things I'm doing now and go through my days without trying to like force specific things. And then the opportunity, like literally out of nowhere, it could not have been more aligned. This opportunity that I'm doing in Greece came up, and my friend is actually the one running this like retreat. And it was so crazy how it all happened. And she didn't even know I was like looking for work around the photography stuff I was trying to find. Like I just wanted to go to somewhere new, like a new location in the next year or so, like a few months ago was what I told myself. And boom, this came up. And I also did want to go back to Greece. Every time I've ever been to Greece, it's actually been for yoga related things, for retreats, my yoga teacher training. So I was thinking about it again. Like, I always go in the summer too, off like the shoulder season. I've actually never been in the midsummer, so I'll be there in July. Kind of curious to see it with all the tourists, because there was tourists there in September and June when I got May in the past when I've gone. But yeah, I'm kind of afraid, I can't lie. And it's super windy. But let's not talk about the negative parts about it. I'm very grateful to be going in general. I'm actually so nervous for my flight. I just thought of it again. I have to pack, guys. This is really bad. I've been recording this for, it's like almost 9 p.m. Circling back to the topic. Anyway, this opportunity came out of nowhere. And I don't think I would have been able to take this opportunity if I forced myself to take one of those other opportunities that I didn't really like. If I got down on myself and was like really upset and trying to force all those other things, they were kind of leading me to release them so that I could make room for this opportunity, which is really crazy. So it's kind of that concept of divine timing again, trusting the process, understanding that things do unfold in due time. It is almost one of the worst things I feel like we have to go through in life. It feels like that. It's not, but it feels like it. When you have to relax and let things happen and you just have to trust the timing of life. The thing that you have to do is just keep on taking inspired action. Keep doing the things that you like. Keep learning, keep expanding, keep like that's where you find the push. Keep doing those little habits and those hobbies and those things that are going to help you build up for the future. And then when things come into your life, you can accept them. That they say that all the time with like relationship stuff too. If you're like single, they tell you to like work on yourself and just continue like living your life. And then when like right people come into your life, instead of forcing it with somebody who's not right for you, like you'll be able to find that connection much better because you're going to be a better person because you did all the self-work anyway. So that's the same type of like vibe going on here with that surrendering energy. And in general, if you ever heard of anything from like Buddhism, the whole idea that attachment really does create suffering, it is true. We make all this up in our heads. We're the ones that are like throwing the attachments out there to people, to places, to titles. A lot of our ego wants are to define who we are. We're a mother, we're this job, we're a manager of this, and then we kind of put our whole life on it. Like we go to the gym. So if you're somebody who goes to the gym a lot and then you get sick and you can't go, you have like a crisis. I've gone through phases when I was younger and I was really, really obsessed with like working out, and I either had like an illness or I couldn't go to the gym because I was on medication. I remember I was like, the world felt like it was like crumbling to me, but that's only because I put my attachment on those things. If I could just step back and be like, okay, well, how can I use this time? Then you can make the most of it. When I was literally 19, I sprained my butt. Crazy story. I literally did a split at a bar for a free drink in jeans, and I tore my ass. I like tore a tendon on my thigh all the way up to my butt, and I literally couldn't lift for like 3 months. It was like a tendon sprain. It was horrendous. And during that time, at first I was miserable, I can't lie, but I learned how to do pull-ups during that time because I could only use my upper body in the gym. I wasn't allowed to like do lower body anything. And I learned how to perfect my form in the like gym, and I learned how to do pull-ups. And instead of sitting there and being so distraught, I think the first 2 weeks I was really upset, but then I kind of was like, okay, this is what it is. What can I do now? Where can I take action? Where can I let go of things? Where can I like not force, like I can't do anything lower body, you know, I can't force myself to do that. And I did, I tried. I was trying to do deadlifts with a sprained butt cheek. Like I was trying. And then I had to like get real with myself and be like, it's just going to make it worse. I'm just going to cause myself more suffering, like truly like physical suffering and mental anguish, you know? So then I switched to what I could control, which was, hey, my upper body works. I'm not really good at using barbells on my upper body. Like I want to learn how to do that. And this was when I was 19. So at the end of that 3 month period, I could do pull-ups. I was doing like big barbell rows. I was doing military presses with like the 55 pound like bar, which I never did before. So it was kind of cool. That's how I used it back then. I feel like an old lady telling you guys stories about my life. Like last part of this episode, I kind of want to talk about circling back to yoga and how you can kind of use your body as an anchor to kind of bring you back to this awareness. Because that's kind of what yoga is. It's being aware of your body, being present, letting things pass around you and not trying to control them. So maybe some of these techniques can help you out in your everyday life. So again, this kind of helps you balance the energies. But one of the most beautiful aspects of yoga is how it really does bring us into our present moment through our bodies. You know, we're always caught in that push and pull dilemma. We're really stuck in our heads a lot and we overthink. And the body is a way that can kind of offer you a direct pathway back to the present moment, like back to the now. So in yoga, sometimes during classes, during my own day, you can do this at any time. You don't have to be doing physical asana like yoga practices, but I like to start with a body scan. So if you're laying in your back, you can just bring awareness to each part of your body, you know, from your toes, noticing, you can do it right now, like noticing your toes in your body, noticing where your big toe is, the middle toes, the pinky toe, moving up to your ankles, noticing how your calves feel. Can you feel where your kneecaps are? Can you feel the back of your kneecaps? Moving up your thighs. I'm not going to do the whole thing, don't worry. But it's that kind of concept, you know? And immediately it pulls you out of your future thinking brain, which is your push energy, trying to control everything, trying to make to-do lists, trying to do all that. And then it stops you from past ruminating, which like is thinking about, oh, I should have did this. I should have done that. Remember this situation. And it kind of grounds you back into what's happening right now. So your body is always in the present moment. It's in this physical plane, you know, even when your mind isn't. Your breath, your inhales and exhales, they're always happening right now. your heartbeat, it's always happening right now. So by anchoring our awareness into these physical sensations, we kind of naturally balance both energies, you know? We're paying active attention, the push kind of energy, but we're also simply just witnessing what's happening, which is that pull energy. Now, in the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali, he describes that asana, which is a yoga pose, asana, has both steadiness and ease. It has both effort and comfort. And this is kind of the balance that we're talking about. So think about holding a challenging pose, like even Warrior Two. Or if you don't do yoga, just like imagine standing on one leg, okay? There's definitely effort involved, you know? Going back to Warrior Two, your quads are engaged to kind of hold your body up. Your arms are extended out, so you're using your arms to hold and lift them up, and your core is activated. Anytime you lift a limb away from your body, your core engages. So that's that push energy, you know, we're turning things on, we're focusing, we're trying, we're doing something. But simultaneously, there's an invitation to kind of find ease within that effort, you know. I always tell people, like, relax your shoulder blades away from your ears, like soften your facial features, try to breathe very deep. And that's the pull energy. It's working hard to hold yourself up, but then also using your awareness to be like, hey, why? Because we're so used to it. Like, hey, why am I tensing my hands so much? Why am I tensing my face? And you can just relax, manually releasing the hands, manually releasing the face. So every single yoga pose kind of teaches this balance, you know? Too much effort, you become really rigid, you know? And you can risk energy if you're... Energy. You can risk injury if you're really like squeezing your thighs like crazy and you're pushing all your weight into one foot. Like, you can do something to yourself there. So that's why, like, you need to relax a little bit. But then too much relaxation, if you're not engaging your legs, if you're not locking out your knees and all that, then you're not gonna receive the benefits of the pose. You're gonna kind of collapse in a sense. So the magic kind of happens in the middle. You can take another life lesson from yoga. So any other poses I'm trying to think of off the top of my head, like I said, Warrior Three. So Warrior Three is when you're, if you're not familiar with this either, it's a single leg pose. So you have one leg back behind you and you're standing on one leg as you like slightly lean forward in a sense. So this demands core strength and you need focus because you need to keep your eyes locked on one thing to keep your balance. But at the same time, it requires you to kind of trust your balance and kind of yield to gravity, you know? So that's that push and pull. Forward fold is an act of surrender. It's letting your upper body fold over your lower body. So we don't force ourselves to lower in a sense. We kind of allow the body to breathe and open up at its own pace. But we're still actively like in that pose, you know? We're bending, we're doing the work there. Sun salutations is another one. I think I'll end with that one because it's a flowing sequence. You know, you're moving between plank, which is an active pose. Then you're lifting up a leg and you're pushing back into like downward dog, which is a little bit more of a receptive pose. So it kind of trains you to move rhythmically between the push and pulls, you know. You're doing a vinyasa, but then you're standing up and you're breathing as your arms come up over your head and you're just kind of being in that moment. Now, our bodies are so smart. Everything our bodies do, it's designed to work with us, you know. It alerts you of things all the time and it's very smart. Our bodies are constantly giving us feedback about which of these energy is needed. If only we would listen. It's very hard for us to tune in and listen. Our minds are racing 1,000 miles a minute. We're always thinking about the future and the past. And sometimes we don't tune in and just listen to ourselves, which is also why, side note, yoga is really good. Because when you're in those poses, it kind of forces you to listen to your body. You notice, hey, my hamstrings are tight. Or hey, I'm squeezing my face muscles so much. Or hey, I'm really loose and relaxed. Maybe I should engage this. Like, we can finally listen a little bit if we can remind ourselves too. And our minds wander. They're always going to wander. We're not just going to be like that for the entire class. The concept is coming back to it, using your body as an anchor. So tension, tightness, shallow breathing, it's usually a signal that we're pushing too hard. Even just in a day-to-day actions, not in yoga, just we're back to circling back to like every day. If we're constantly having our shoulders pulled up by our ears, if you're walking around making a fist or scrunching your toes when you sit, and then your breath, you're taking really shallow breathing, it's signs that you're pushing yourself, you know? Lethargy, heaviness, like a disconnection in general, like circling back to earlier when we were saying like you just feel off. It's an indicator that you might need some more active energy. And I found that like a regular yoga practice, it could be a meditation practice, a mindfulness practice, it could be just getting outside, taking walks in nature, doing a hobby you enjoy, a sport, the gym, all these types of things. They make you more sensitive to these physical cues in your everyday life. When I'm forcing something, right, that isn't ready to happen, I notice my shoulders will like creep up towards my ears. And when I avoid taking action, if I procrastinate, I feel it in my chest. I can feel that sinking sensation, you know? I can feel I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm avoiding it in some way and I'm holding myself back. Your body gives you these signals, you know? It doesn't lie. When, like, our minds, they can rationalize the pushing when we should be surrendering or procrastinating when we should act, you know? Our minds are meant to make us feel good. We always are going to justify things. But our physical sensations can be a very clear, good guide to help us realize. So you can try a simple practice if you'd like. Throughout your day, maybe you can pause and occasionally ask yourself, okay, what is my body telling me right now? And then you can scan for areas of tension or areas of like that collapsing kind of sinking feeling. Maybe you shift your attention to your breath. You notice if it's shallow or if it's rapid, like that's too much of a push. Or maybe it's barely there. You can barely feel your breathing. That's not enough of a push. You know, you need to find a little bit more with your inhales. I don't know. I'm kind of going into my yoga flow there, but you get the point. Like looking at your breath and noticing it. These sensations are kind of like compasses that can point you towards where you need to balance out. So the beauty of using yoga in the sense of awareness, when I say the word yoga, and meditation, again, more of the sense of just being mindful, is to find this balance. And yeah, the cool thing is once you kind of learn about this balance and you feel it, you'll be able to recognize in your body when things are off, and then you can recreate it in your everyday life. So the more you do it, the better you get at it is what kind of what I'm getting at. I used to walk around with my tongue pressed up to the roof of my mouth all the time, and I was so unconscious about it. Maybe 2 years ago, I was still doing it. And that's a sign of stress. That's a sign you're holding some sort of tension. So now I started to consciously like relax my tongue when I walk around. And most of the time it's, you know, it's life. So sometimes it's still, I am tense, but not all the time. I find myself having a more relaxed face. My jaw too. I do a lot of like gua sha and like facial massage because for my lymph. Because actually my fun fact, we can talk about another episode, but my lymph was actually causing my acne. I was getting a lot of acne around like my jaw and my chin over the past few years. And it was due to like blocked up lymph nodes. So I do a lot of like facial massage on myself. But before that, when I first started doing it, I noticed how tense my face was. Like if you take your knuckle, like bend your pointer finger with your knuckle and just take it and put it in the space underneath your cheekbone. Like, you know, the collapse, like if you sucked your cheeks in and you made a fish face and you were like the part that kind of sucks in, put your knuckle there and then just kind of massage it around and you're going to feel so much tension. I work like daily to like massage that and also kind of relax it. Like when I'm teaching yoga and when I'm taking yoga classes, like sometimes my face would tense up. Like I think when I was lifting, I'd make all these funny faces and I was tensing my jaw so much. Even waiting online, sitting on a plane, I'd find myself, oh God, just thought about the plane again. I still have to pack you guys. It's like 10 p.m. Anyway, but I would find myself like really tense. So having this awareness is what I'm getting at. Once you find out like, hey, I really do tense my eyebrows, you can become aware of it and soften it. And over time, it'll help and you'll just feel better. And this also doesn't have to be physical things. It can just be having awareness in general. Like awareness is the key to most things. And I think this is where I'm going to cap this episode. I feel like I could go a little longer on it, but I'm going to spare you guys and keep it under 40 minutes today. So I have to pack. I keep putting it off. Please let me know what you thought about this episode. Maybe only nice things, though. If you're going to reach out, maybe only nice things. But if you have any comments, any questions about this topic, feel free to message me on Instagram at happyholistichippie. I love hearing from you in general. Make sure to rate this podcast 5 stars, because if you do that, it does help this podcast get pushed out to other people. So you can kind of think of it as like a little bit of a karmic balance. Like if you got something from it, give it a rating, and then maybe someone else will find it and get something from it, and that can be like your good deed of the day, you know? Otherwise, I will be posting weekly, I promise you. I'm bringing my mini mic with me so I can record while I'm away. It's still pretty good quality. I've actually recorded some other episodes with it, and you probably don't know which ones because it's just that good of quality. The microphone I'm using right now is super heavy, and I bought it back and forth between New York and Hawaii a few times, and I constantly got stopped by TSA. And then they'd be like, what is that? And I'm like, it's a microphone. And they'd be like, why do you have that? And I'm like, for a podcast. And then they would laugh. I had like 3 men laugh at me one time. I was like, yeah, I know. I get it. But anyway, merch is dropping soon. I am going away for a few weeks, so it did get delayed to August, but we're going to be dropping some podcast merch. It's going to be really cute. And you know what? I was, like I said, I was going to try and rush it before I went away, but I don't think it would have been ready. Like, it just, I'm not going to force it. That kind of goes with the theme of the episode today. I'm not going to push myself to do it and make it something that it could be so much better and so much nicer if I allowed kind of a flowy energy with it. And I wouldn't want to give you merch that came from that state of energy. Like, I want to create the art so that it's like, you know, it aligns with what we talk about on the show. But again, hit me up. Love to hear from you guys. New episodes dropping weekly. And yeah, I'm very excited. I'll be sharing a little bit more about my travels. I have a lot of fun photography equipment. I have some like underwater cameras, some vlog equipment. I have a drone. That's crazy. I'm a drone pilot now. I had to get certified in the United States and in the European Union. So that's new. But yeah, have a really nice day and we'll chat soon.